everyone. Welcome to the Hoboken Grace Podcast. We hope today's message inspires you on your walk with God and supports you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. We want to help you in that, so every message from every week is available live and on demand on our app or at hobokengrace.com. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us, and we'll see you next week.
Excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you that I haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And if you aren't familiar with what the HOMA initiative is, I highly encourage you to check that out. You can find it on our app. You can find it on our website and see all that God's been doing over the past 2 years. And that's right, we're almost at the end of the HOMA initiative. As a matter of fact, this is the last month in the HOMA initiative, and so I just encourage you to make sure that you're staying strong in that for those who've committed, or maybe you haven't made a commitment, but I want to encourage you to be part of that with us and for us to finish strong as we come to the end of this two-year journey. And inside of that, this past week was fairly significant for us. Because as many of you know, as we've moved through the past 2 years, we've dreamed about being able to establish a tool from which we could love our city better, to be able to find, not just find a home for us, be able to find a location that will allow us to help others find their home inside of our community, find home inside of the one who loves us most. As we've been moving through that, about 8 or 9 months ago, we came across an opportunity that we never dreamt possible, because we came across the reality that the building that used to be the Bowtie Theater here inside of Hoboken, it was actually owned at the time by developers who were looking to turn it into condos. And we had the opportunity to step in and say, please don't do that, please don't do that. We would really like to be able to purchase this space. And so we began to negotiate and work through that process. And then, as you know, in December, we received approvals from city to be able to do what we needed to do inside of that space. And then this week, on Wednesday, March 9th, we finally closed on that property. So we now officially own 409 14th Street, which is an unbelievable, unbelievable reality. And we started this, and I remember, if you go back to those early conversations, I showed you pictures of this church in Nebraska and said, it won't be like this for us, because there's really nothing like that inside of our city, and we probably won't be able to find a space where all of us can be together. It'll probably be a multi-site experience. And then God stepped in and said, no, you have really underestimated me. You have really underestimated me, because, by the way, this space has more square footage than that space in Nebraska. And not only that, but as we've moved through this process, I have to tell you, I did not want the closing to take this long. I did not want the closing to take this long. And the people that we were working with actually told us that this took twice as long as any other process that they've been part of, but God had something in mind, because many of you know that our commitment night for the HOMA initiative, or our commitment Sunday for the HOMA initiative, where all of us were going to make our commitments to what it is that we felt God was calling us to do and how He wanted us to create home for others, was actually the very first Sunday where we had to be online only because of the pandemic. And so we never actually had our commitment Sunday in person. But prior to that, just a couple of weeks before that, we had what we called advanced commitment night, which is where those who wanted to be first to give came together inside of this space and made those commitments. We closed this Wednesday, which was March 9th. That advanced commitment night, which is where people leaned into what God was going to do, was on March 9th, 2020. Exactly 2 years to the day. And I wanted that closing to happen sooner. And God said, no. I want to remind you, I'm the one who's doing this. And I want you to know that I'm the one who's making this happen. And this week, we got to celebrate that in a huge, huge way. And I don't just want to move past that. And so I'm going to invite Kyle and Sarah, if they would, to join me on stage, because I want to spend time just thanking him for what it is that he has done. And so I'm going to ask each of them just to pray and to thank him for his incredible love, the incredible way that he has moved inside of our lives and inside of our community.
Will you pray with me? Father, we are here today and we just say thank you. Our hearts are full of gratitude. Our family is seeing you at work. And we are just amazed. Thank you, God, for your goodness. You are so good. We are undeserving of the goodness. It is overwhelming to us. Like Chris said before, God, we just didn't see it happen, but you made it happen. And this is just the beginning. And Lord, we stand before you today and we just proclaim your goodness and your kindness and your provision. And we stand here knowing, Lord, that this isn't it, that you are mobilizing us and using us to move forward, to love this city. And we proclaim that this is our home. We put our roots down in you so that we can help other people find their home in you. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing us again and again, and in this incredibly large, phenomenal way, that you are in control and that you know what's best for us, your children. So we just give you praise, God, and we are filled with gratitude, and we are overwhelmed by your kindness, and we can't wait to see what you do next. In your name I pray.
Dad, we acknowledge that you alone are worthy of our praise, that you alone are worthy of what we can give you, God. We are overwhelmed by your faithfulness to us, by your goodness, by what you showed us, that we can trust you, that you are faithful, and that during the 2 years and the waiting period and the pandemic, that you have shown us that your way is greater than we could ever imagine, that no matter what we believe, your way is better. And so we cannot wait to see what you have for us, the future in which you will guide us. And we just put all of our faith and all of our trust in you that we can follow you well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you just celebrate him one more time? Now, I have to tell you, as we came into today and as we left out of last week, some of you know that we've been in the midst of this conversation, restoring love, and as we are in the midst of that, I told you that we had 1 week left, and so some of you came today expecting that final week, but I don't want us to move past this moment. I don't want us to move past what it is that God has done, and so that conversation, we're going to talk specifically about how this last series impacts dating and how it should impact the way that we look for someone. We're actually going to put that online. That's going to be available inside of our newsletter this week because I don't want you to miss that. But as we come together today, I want to make sure that we don't miss this moment because so often in our lives, the difficult moments of life capture us. The difficulties and the obstacles that we run into, they capture us, and we'll obsess about them. But in moments like these, where God's doing something amazing, where God's doing something powerful, when God's doing something miraculous, we oftentimes will acknowledge it for a second, and then we just move on. And I think that that's detrimental to who we see God as. It's detrimental to our experience of God. It's detrimental to our experience of God's love and joy and peace and patience and all the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to bring into our lives. And so I want for us to embrace this with all that we have. To do that, I want to take you to one of my favorite stories. It's a story that I personally come back to over and over again because of the fact that it has so shaped my journey and how I experience God, how I engage God, how I want for my life to be, and how I want to engage this journey. The story is found in Matthew chapter 14. Now, I'll give you a little bit of context. Just before this, and this is significant, just before this, Jesus has fed thousands with nothing. He had nothing at his disposal, and he has fed thousands and thousands of people. It's one of the most amazing things that he does, one of the most miraculous things that he does. And then following that, we find this story. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And I love this because Jesus gets done and he's been teaching and he does this amazing thing. And then he puts the disciples into the boat and says, I don't want to see you anymore. And I love this because I'm an introvert and there are those times where I'm like, I need some alone time. And I realize, okay, I'm like Jesus in this. Because Jesus gets to this point and says, I need some alone time, guys. You go ahead of me. I'm staying back. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And so Jesus stays back, and he's spending this time alone with his Father. And as it's getting later, the boat is out in the midst of the lake, and there's a storm that comes up. Now, this is a significant storm because you have to remember, and for those of you who aren't familiar with the story of Jesus' disciples, you need to know most of them are professional fishermen. That's what they did before they started to follow Jesus. So in order for them to be in a boat that's struggling, it has to be a significant storm. They knew how to do this. They weren't unfamiliar with boats. And I know some of you, you grew up and you had little children's Bibles, and inside the little children's Bible, there's 12 guys in a rowboat. That's not what this is. This was probably like a commercial fishing type of vessel at the time, which wasn't huge, but still was bigger than just a rowboat. And they're trying to make it to the other side of this lake. Now, as this is happening, Jesus decides to do something. It continues in verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. So Jesus decides, okay, I'm going to walk out to them. Mark actually says that he planned on walking past them, which is interesting. But he's walking out there, and they see him. And this is really intriguing to me because Jesus did this amazing thing, fed thousands and thousands and thousands. And then they see him walking on the water, and their first inclination is not, oh, it's Jesus. Their first inclination is a ghost, which should make some of you feel better who struggle with the miraculous. And sometimes I'll talk about these stories, and people say, you know, I really struggle with the miraculous. Yeah, everyone does. That's what makes it miraculous. And the disciples weren't just like, oh, yeah, cool, you know, Jesus just does miracles. No, they were always surprised by it, including this situation where they see someone walking towards them and they don't think, oh, it's Jesus. No. Why? Because no one walks on water. And so they look at it and they freak out like, oh, it must be a ghost. I'm like, that's your go-to? Really? That's your go-to. Of all the things, that's your go-to. So, oh, it must be a ghost. And then it continues, it says, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. So Jesus speaks out and says, listen, guys, it's me, don't be afraid. But he doesn't just say don't be afraid, he says take courage, which is interesting because there's actually one who kind of does. He says, it's me, guys. Verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water, which is interesting at the beginning of this because, again, he's still not sure it's Jesus. He's like, Lord, if it's you, there's still a question mark. Still could be a ghost. And so he asked the question, Lord, if it's you, which is kind of interesting too, because if the ghost was lying to them earlier, he's probably going to keep lying. But either way, he says, Lord, if it's you, then tell me to come to you, which Jesus does. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And growing up, I heard people teach on this story a lot. And I grew up inside a church, and I heard this story many, many times. I heard people teach on this story many, many times. And most of the time, when people taught him this story, they taught about the failure of Peter's faith and the fact that he got caught up in the waves and the wind, and you look at this, and this is about the failure of Jesus' faith, or the failure of Peter's faith. And the truth is, Jesus does call it out. He says, listen, why do you still have doubt? Why are you still doubting? I mean, look at everything I've just done. Why is it that you're still doubting? But as I grew up and as I experienced life and as I came back to the story time after time after time, my perspective on it drastically shifted. Because I don't think this is a story about the failure of Peter's faith. I think Jesus calls out that he still has doubt. But let me ask you. How many times do you think Peter shared this story? How many times, as the disciples are together, or as Peter's taking this message of Jesus to the world and sharing the story of Jesus throughout the Roman Empire, and this church is launching, how many times do you think he told this story? I'll bet he told it all the time. You know why? Because he walked on water. You know who else has done that? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And I guarantee you he shared this story over and over and over again. It was one of those stories where he'd be with his friends and say, oh, did I ever tell you about this one time? We were out on this lake. Yes, Peter, you've told us about that story. Yes, we've heard about that story. Yes, it's an illustration in every third talk that you give. Because if you had done that, you would tell the story over and over and over again. And no, he didn't get it perfect, but you know what he did do? He walked on water. And it's interesting, when you think about it, when you put yourself into the story, you realize, wait, you would tell that story constantly. The other thing that you realize is this. For the other guys in the boat, they did not appreciate this story. Because have you ever been in a moment where an opportunity presents itself, like a life-changing opportunity, and you hesitate and someone else steps up and experiences it, and you know you'll never get that opportunity back again? Every time you think about it for the rest of your life, you get a pit in your stomach. Like, man, are you kidding me? I could have walked on water. Now Peter talks about it all the time. He's constantly bringing it up. I missed it. I have to think, Jesus gets in the boat, the waves calm. If you're one of the disciples, are you not thinking, hey, could we try that again? Like, you think we could give it another shot? You know, I know Peter got to do it. Do you think maybe, if you don't think they thought that, you are not being honest about the story. Because every single one of us would be like, I know I should have stepped up earlier, but I didn't. But now I would really like to. But there's only one person who experienced God that way in all of history. Peter. I think this story speaks into our lives in a lot of different ways. But I don't want to start there. And that's not really even so much what I want to focus on. Listen to the next verse, because I think it speaks to this moment that we're in right here. It says, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And so Peter and Jesus climb back into the boat. And the disciples look at Jesus and say, oh my goodness, you actually are the Son of God. And I love this about the disciples because it makes me feel a lot better about my own journey. Because you'll see Jesus do something. He'll do something miraculous, something amazing, or he'll teach them something that changes the way that they see the world. And they'll say, oh my goodness, you are actually the Son of God. And then a little while later, he'll do something else, and they'll say, oh my goodness, you're actually the Son of God. And you're reading it and saying, didn't you get that a little bit ago? I thought you got that before. But this makes me feel really good about my journey, because if you're on this journey with Jesus, you know that you experience that all the time. Where God begins to work and move in your life, or God does something unexpected, and you say, oh, wow, you are who you said you are. But life happens, and circumstance happens, and you begin to forget, or you begin to doubt. And then God moves and works. You say, oh, my goodness, you are who you said you are. All of us have experienced this. If you're in the process of trying to follow Jesus, all of us, we've experienced this. And they look at what God just did, and it drastically, now listen to me. It drastically impacted their faith and drastically impacted how they understood God and how they related to him. This is why it's really important when God does things like he did this week that you don't just move past them, because they should drastically inform the way you understand him, the way that you relate to him, how you're overwhelmed by him. But unfortunately, oftentimes we move past them. Now, we don't do this with the difficulties in our lives or the painful situations in our lives. Oftentimes we'll obsess about them, and they will drastically impact the way that we understand God, the way that we see God, and the way that we relate to God. As a matter of fact, some of you have experienced pain in your journey to the extent that it actually caused you to walk away from the faith, because you looked at it and said, why, and you didn't get the answer that you wanted to get, and so you said, I'm done with this. And that moment informed your faith the most. And we do this. All of us do this. But the disciples in this moment said, no. They don't just move past it. It shapes the way they understood God. Do you allow the love that God has poured into your life, the provision that God has poured into your life, the way that God has miraculously blessed you in your life, do you allow that to inform who he is? Do you sit with it long enough for it to shape how you understand him? Another way to ask it is this. Oftentimes in the painful situations, we'll sit and we'll say, why, God, why? Do you do the same when he blesses you? When you look at the good that he's poured into your life, do you sit and say, God, why? God, why would you love me that way? God, why would you provide that way? God, why would you even care at all? Why would you answer my prayer in that way? Why? Do you ask why as much about his provision and his love and his blessing and his care as you do about the things that are difficult? Unfortunately, oftentimes we just move past the blessing, and we don't allow it to adequately shape who we understand him to be. And I don't want us to do that in this moment. God, why would you love us in such a powerful way? Why would you be so gracious? Because the answer is not that we've earned it or that we deserve it, neither me nor you. So why, God? And it should inform, this should change the way that we understand him, or at least remind us of what we've forgotten, or maybe at times what we've doubted. Why would you step in and do far beyond what we could have possibly imagined? Why? Don't just move past all the good that he's poured into your life. What are you taking for granted? The community that he's given you? The friends that he's given you? Oftentimes, I'll talk with people who are struggling with loneliness, and they'll talk to me about how they're not married, how they're so alone, but God's given them phenomenal community. I'm like, wait a second, are you not realizing what he's given you? You're not realizing what he's poured into your life in this way. Look at the way that he's provided for you. Not just for what we need, but enough for us to be generous, experience the joy in the life of generosity. In those moments, it should be constantly why and wow, why and wow. Don't just move past them. Don't allow just the negative things to shape how you understand them, engage them. What is it in your life that right now you need to sit with? Just say, why? Why would you love me this way? Why would you be so gracious and merciful? Don't miss it. But there's a lot of things for us to learn from this passage. It's not just allowing these moments to shape us. It's also, it speaks powerfully to what we think is beyond him. Because again, remember, they had just experienced one of the greatest miracles that Jesus has ever done. And they see someone walking on the water, and they don't think it's Jesus. They think it's a ghost, which means that they thought it was beyond him. Now, Jesus can do a lot of really amazing things, but this one you got to be a ghost to do. They thought it was beyond him. What in your life is beyond him? For so many of us, as we began this home journey and we talked about what our dream was, for so many of us, we thought, that's nice. That's never going to happen. That's nice. It'd be great if it did happen, but that's never going to happen. There's no way that's going to happen. I remember specifically after the first time that I shared our vision and what we thought God was calling us into, I walked off stage and someone who had attended our church for a very long time came up to me and said, Chris, you got to stop this. This is never going to happen and you're going to lose all credibility in the process. You cannot do this. And it wasn't just a few of us. There were a lot of us who said, man, we might work something out. Something might happen. But this is beyond him. Nope. Walking on water? Nope. What in your life is beyond him? All of us have something. Maybe you think it's beyond him to actually restore that relationship. Maybe you think it's beyond him to actually free you from that addiction. Maybe you think it's beyond him to actually resolve that loneliness in your heart. What What is it that you think is beyond him? It's moments like these where God steps in and says, nope, 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 nope. Don't you do that. Don't you put limits on me. You have no idea. And just when you think I've done what is beyond your expectation, he feeds thousands. Just when you think that, I'll come in and exceed it again. Because there's nothing that's beyond me. What is it in your life that this moment needs to inform for you to say, wait, what if it's not actually beyond him? What if it's not? Don't move past it. Allow it to speak to that in your life. And some of you today need to go to him and say, God, for a long time I've been living like this is beyond you. Now, I don't know how you are going to work, and I don't understand it. I can tell you that has been my conversation with him from the beginning of this. Because I thought the only way this will ever happen is if Acme goes out of business. I don't know how you're going to work. I don't know. But to trust him, it's not beyond you. God, I give this to you, it's not beyond you. And I will not live my life like it is. It is not beyond you. The challenge is how we allow these moments to impact how we see him. The challenge is how we look at what it is that we're up against. And then it challenges our mindset on this journey. Because again, I love this. I love this about Peter. Peter's watching God do the miraculous. And he decides, this is crazy. He decides, I don't want to just watch the miracle. I want to be part of it. I don't want to just watch the miracle. I want to be part of it. And one of the things that you see as you go back through Scripture and you see those who powerfully experience God, it's the people who say, no, I don't want to just watch the miracle. I want to be part of it. And so David says, oh, I know God can beat that giant. And no one else is willing to walk into the valley, but I don't want to just watch it happen. I want to be part of it. Well, David, you've lost your mind. His brothers are begging him to just go home. You're embarrassing us. You're going to get yourself killed. Just go home. And David says, no, no, no. As you look back through the story, you look back through Scripture, the people who most powerfully experienced God were the ones who said, no, no, I want to get out of the boat. If it's you, I want to get out of the boat. I don't want to just get to the end of the story and have watched God tell an amazing story. I want to be part of it. And God wants you to be part of it too. That's why he shares this story with us, because he wants to challenge you. And all of us have these places in our lives where God's stepping in. He's saying, listen, I want you to get out of the boat. I want you to get out of the boat. I want you to step into something. I want you to take a step of faith that you've never taken before. And one of the most amazing things about this week and what we're celebrating is this, and I want to celebrate this. The reason why this is possible is because so many of you, over the course of the last 2 years, decided to get out of the boat and give in ways that you've never given before. Would you join me in celebrating those who got out of the boat? And as we talk about the miracle that God is doing, it's not something that you've just watched. You're part of it. And this announcement's personal to you. Why? Because I was part of that. I was part of that miracle. God says, I don't want you to just watch it. I want you to be part of it, but you got to step out of the boat. And he comes into our lives and he challenges us with this in all sorts of different ways. It may go back to our last conversation and what it looks like to restore love and deciding that, I'm going to pour more into my character than I've been pouring into all these other things in my life that I thought would bring me love. And I'm going to become someone who is committed and sticks to my commitments. I don't know where it is in your life, but God's constantly stepping in and challenging us. Okay, it's time for you to step out of the boat. I want you to not just watch what I do. I want for you to experience it. And even as we come together today, as soon as this service is over at 3:00 here inside this space, we have something called Team Link. And the whole goal of Team Link is to give you an opportunity to be part of what God's doing here, for you to begin to serve. And God's challenged all of us to be part of his body and to serve in that way. And what we want to do is give you an opportunity to live that out so that when we get to the point where that space opens, which, by the way, is not next week. Don't show up there next week. We're not going to be there next week. It's going to take a little bit of time. But when we open that space, I don't want you to walk in and say, man, I watched a miracle. I want you to walk in and say, no, I was a part of a miracle. But that only happens if you get out of the boat. And I guarantee you, those who were in the boat with Peter, they saw something amazing. And for years, they probably talked about. As a matter of fact, Matthew, who shares this story with us, was in that boat. They shared the story. But they knew. All of us watched something miraculous. One of us experienced it. One of us experienced it. You know, growing up, sometimes I struggled with whether or not God was good, but I never struggled with whether or not God was real. And one of the reasons why is because I watched my dad over and over and over again step out of the boat, take steps of faith. Sometimes he took our whole family out of the boat, and I'd look at him and say, I don't want to go. But he said, no, this is what we're going to do. I remember when he came home, and my mom and him shared with us that we were going to move to Togo, West Africa, and become missionaries. At that time, we didn't have internet. You weren't going to connect back to your family. You wouldn't see them for 4 years. I remember looking at him and saying, why in the world would we do that? Him and my mom told us the story of what God was doing over there through this hospital. He said, all these people are coming to know Christ through this hospital, but they don't have a church to be part of, so we're going to go plant churches over there. I said, can't someone else do that? He said, I don't want to miss out on this opportunity. Why? Because my dad never wanted to be someone who watched the miraculous. He always wanted to be part of it. That's what God wants for you. And I know some of you are sitting here saying, I don't know. I don't know if God could use me. And I'll have conversations with people all the time. No, I'm too old. I don't fit the demographic. Or I'm too this or I'm too that. Or Let me take you back to this passage where Jesus asked this, where Peter asked this question, because I think it's so telling in this. Verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Lord, if it's you. Now, this is intriguing because, again, he's still wondering who it is, but don't miss this. Peter's confidence that he could walk on water had nothing to do with himself. It had everything to do with who was calling him. And so he knew.
Lord, if it's you, I can do it. I'm not asking you to be part of the miraculous because I have confidence in you or me. Lord, if it's you. And he has shown us that, no, I'm in this. It's me. Come on. God is stepping into your life. Come on. Don't just watch the miracle. Be part of it. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that this story would drastically shape the way that we engage this moment. And we are so incredibly grateful. I pray that we wouldn't just move past it, that we would sit with it. That it would shape our confidence in you, that it would shape our understanding of what's possible with you, that it would change the way that we look at things that we're up against. Father, I pray that it would motivate and move us to step out of the boat. Not because we're confident in who we are, but because we know who you are and who you've shown yourself to be. In Jesus' name.